All Eyes on Fishing with Josh Sheldon, Brad Qualley, and Mitch Peterson, leading you to the next level.
Welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Today we're going to talk about scent. You know, scent as far as when you're pulling crawlers, leeches, crankbaits, jigs, keeping your hands clean when you're putting on those crankbaits and crawlers and things. Because we have some differences here, just in the three of us, of what we think about scent.
Right.
You know, because like when we're pulling slow death, I always pinch off the back of the crawler, no matter what, if it's a little nub crawler or not, because I want that fresh scent trailing behind
them. I do the same thing.
So, yeah.
I want the blood trail.
Yeah, you want the blood trail, you know, something for them to follow
in. Jaws.
So we're out on the water quite a bit during the year. I think we kind of average it out about 50 times each year on the water. So, of course, we use sunscreen. You know, we got to, or we'd be raisins by the end of the day.
Especially at our elevation. If you don't use sunscreen, man, you're a torch by the end of the day.
So this is something that me and Mitch have talked about before, and he's real anal about it. Like, when he puts sunscreen on, he'll get a brand new towel, wash off his hands, clean it all off. If we have a fish in the live well, he'll grab the fish to keep the... to get that
little
sunscreen
cover, little cover scent. I don't know, it's from my bow hunting
days. But scent is real important in hunting. But then we talk about it, is that important in fishing?
I don't know,
but here's the deal.
It's like the color talk.
I could give two rips about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I put on sunscreen, I'll still have white crap all over my hands. If I got to tie on a new lure, they're tying it on right now. My bait just got some sunscreen on it. And he's like, no way, dude, you got to clean it off. So he goes the opposite. So have you guys noticed? I mean, I know I could probably answer for some of the stuff that Mitch has because we're in the water a lot. But have you guys noticed scent being that big of a factor in all your years fishing with other people? What have you seen?
To me, it's you know, it's kind of like the podcast we did before on color. It's all of, I think it's a confidence thing. I think if I have confidence that I got the scent off my hand, I know that's not a factor that's going to screw me. Right? I mean, I don't know if it...
That's probably what it is. And that's why I do it. Yeah. It's not that I'm really worried that fish isn't going to bite because it smelled my sunscreen or something. But I like to knock that off the list of worries.
Yeah. And it comes to... We've talked about this in all of our podcasts. We talk this when we do clinics or seminars with people, is repeating what's working.
Right.
Right? So by you guys cleaning your... You know it's a clean bait going out because you're repeating what's working. Right.
Yep.
And so maybe I'm screwing myself a little bit because, you know, 90% of the day I don't have, or probably even more, I don't have that scent on my crankbait that I'm putting out behind the board or whatever it is.
Right.
And now is that crank running dry for a while because of the scent I put on it? So probably my bad on that, because we've always preached that to everybody. When you find something that works, repeat it.
Right.
You know, and then when it doesn't work anymore, figure out what does.
Right.
Right. Because things change throughout the day.
Right.
So that's probably a really good point. And that's going to make me reflect on what I do. Because I never thought about it like that.
But well, having watched you two fish for what? I don't know. How long have we been doing this? 10, 15 years?
Yeah.
Watching you two, I mean, what people who are listening to this need to understand, you know, Mitch is the, it's Brad's boat. Mitch is the pilot in the front of the boat, and Brad's in the back. That's about what? 99% of the time, that's how you guys roll?
Not anymore.
Not anymore? Oh, really? We switching stuff up? Hey, somebody else taking
it
off?
I got the autopilot.
That's right.
So we kind of go wherever we want.
Right.
When he's just
sitting there. You guys are, let's say, jigging, most of the time, I see Mitch up front.
That's true.
And Brad in the back, and Brad's got rods going everywhere, and Mitch is kind of focusing on the smaller details. That's the way it looks to me anyways, because I see Brad running around, and Mitch kind of just hunched over doing his thing, right? And so, and you guys have to understand, Mitch is considerably taller than Brad, and so it's interesting to see, because I can just see Brad's head kind of bouncing around and Mitch hunched over doing his jigging, you know, or whatever. But they do fish different. I mean, I can see the difference. And so, you know, there's that front of the boat, back of the boat discussion, right? Like, the guy in the front of the boat screwing the guy in the back. Or the guy in the back, you know, he's doing better because the guy in the front got him all stirred up and now he's coming through and catching fish, whatever. And so I think it's funny because when we start to talk about these smaller dialing in factors such as scent, Brad's in the back of the boat running around doing his thing, but Brad's catching more fish than Mitch in the front of the boat. Brad's got sunscreen on his jig. Mitch doesn't, you know, I mean, and it's, so these two really are a microcosm of a really, it'd be interesting to see, like, you know, putting you two on a boat and like a dividing line. Nobody crosses this orange line on the boat. Let's see who does better. Yeah. And just going from there. You can't talk to each other.
That's usually pretty obvious. But we probably have different opinions of that, too.
Well, you can tell by the pictures we put out, right? I got a lot of pictures of Mitch, not so many of Brad.
A lot of those are my fish.
He's just handing them over.
Because what happens is when I catch a fish, he nets it, grabs up, and goes, hey, take a quick peck. And I'm like, okay, here we go again. So really, the more pictures you see of him, it's because they're my fish.
I was waiting for the comment that they're all rainbows.
The rainbow.
You're just stupid enough to get the picture. Okay, I'll take the picture.
I've got a great example of how a scent probably doesn't matter. Okay, so that's the thing. That's what's hard about fishing, but what is kind of intriguing about it too. Like, we can never, ever hit the top level.
Right.
And there's always, we can always get better, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And try to be smarter about it, whatever. So I've got a friend that I've fished with a lot. We'll just call him T. Crazy T. Well, there's been more times. It doesn't matter if we're ice fishing in the boat. It does not matter. This guy will, hey, come on, Tony, I'll take you out and we'll catch some fish. And all of a sudden, I'm the guide, right? I know where they're at. I know how to get them.
Right.
And this is what we're going to do. And this is what's working and all that. And all of a sudden, after a while, 5 minutes, no bite for him. He's switching it up. Well, he's come up with all kinds of crazy lures, and I look at it like he'll customize and build stuff. I'm talking putting like a spinner blade above his jig.
Right.
I mean, crazy stuff that would just, like, no way will this work.
Like a big willow blade.
Yeah.
Like, not like a little flasher blade. Right. Like a big willow that's way past that.
Yeah.
He'll be in the back of the boat and be like, What do you think of this? I'm like,
and they don't put an 8-inch worm on the back of like you're pitching like your Carolina rig or something.
Yeah,
some big purple worm. You're like, dude,
like out of a horror film.
Yeah,
who's doing this? And the guy catches him.
Yeah.
So one day, I'm teaching him how important scent is,
right?
and getting that sunscreen off your hands before you touch your bait and stuff. And he sat back there, and I think he held his jig up and held a little spray bottle of Coppertone and coated his jig like he was painting it, right? And threw it over the side and just looked at me like, yeah, whatever. And sure enough, bam, keeper walleye.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just scratched my head. Like, is everything I do just a big waste of time?
Right.
Because that just happened. I saw it.
Yes, it is.
But how many times have we used that little crawfish scent?
Scent, yeah.
Again, is it making a difference?
Well,
or is it giving us that confidence?
Yeah. I mean, I see people all the time, and I think, sometimes I wonder to myself, is this a way to get sponsors or whatever? But I'll see these pictures, and these people have that scent bottle in their teeth holding up a picture of the fish, and I'm thinking, you are just trolling at 3 miles an hour on Lake Erie. There's no way that scent, a little bit of scent you put on 25 minutes ago is still on that crankbait and it hasn't worn off. You know what I mean?
That gel stuff stays up forever.
But who knows? Maybe it is. But I mean, my thought process is, God, give me a break. But who knows? Yeah. Right? Maybe it leaves that scent trail like Jaws, or and off they go. So I'll give you guys a funny story. So when I was a kid growing up, my dad and I used to go out fishing, and my dad chewed Red Man leaf. So he had this huge wad in the corner of his mouth, and he used to sit out there, and we would go out and we'd throw original Rapalas in the evening, and we would catch walleyes just coming up and just
from the shore.
I mean, we that's all we did. We would bring three or four Rapalas in their boxes, in our pockets, a bag of split shots in the other pocket, and that's all we brought down. And a pair of pliers. I mean, that was it, right? And the pliers were more to get it out of your hand, just in case you hooked a walleye and the crank, the Rapala came out and got in your hand, because it happened a few times. But, that's all we brought. And so we would go down and we'd wait out in the water. And so my dad, he'd be out there, and of course he could wait a little further than me because I was quite a bit smaller. And all of a sudden he wouldn't be catching any fish, and I'd see him pull that crank up and spit a giant wad of spit from his Red Man leaf on it, cast it out, and within a few casts he would get a fish. Almost every time. I mean, to the point where I'd walk over and hold up my bait and he'd spit on it, and I'd walk back over and I'd start fishing, because I mean, that was the only difference. We had the same color. We were, his depth was maybe a touch different, but same technique. I mean, everything, right?
But so you talk about that, That's the, and you get back to your story, but because this is a perfect segue into that.
Yes.
Was it the same?
Was it the same? Right. Yes, I mean, he's got a bigger rod or a longer rod, a different action.
Is his gear ratio different on his steering wheel to where it's coming in a little quicker? There's so many things.
So many things.
But it's similar.
But that is a good point of, you know, does scent affect it? I mean, or was it a confidence thing, or were we trying to figure out what happened? I mean, you know, who knows, right? I mean, that was the funniest part is... Who knows? Right. But it's just one of those funny things where I remember him doing it. But my personal view is more like Mitch's, where, you know, Mitch and I are, we're rubbing our hands on anything fishy to get that sunscreen off because, you know, we both burn, you know, like a match head. But we, you know, getting it off. Let's just get it off. I'll rub my hand up and down the side of the boat for 10 minutes just trying to get that.
10 minutes.
Well, if that's what it takes, you know.
I saw him one day. It was at least 10 minutes. I was like, what's he doing?
That's why you don't catch any fish. People are like,
you know, do you clean your boat? I'm like, no, I'm getting the sunscreen off. I mean, it seems to pull off on that fiberglass better or something. I don't know, but I'll get out. And I'll, you know, if we're at the boat ramp or whatever and I put it on in my truck before we launch, I'll walk up before I get on the boat to the edge of the boat ramp and I'll pull up a handful of mud and I'll rub my hands with mud and pebbles and everything just to get it off my hands. Mm-hmm. Where I think, to me, that's just important. And then I have those two or three rags in the boat that you never wash. So, you know, they're just... They're stiff. They're disgusting. Man,
that's
my hands
the
are,
ones you wipe down.
I'm wiping it all over those, baby. You know, the ones where my wife is like, throw this shit away. I'm like, no, that's my hand wiping towel. So, you know, I mean, that to me, that's important. But, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, Brad, I don't care.
But, you know, really, I probably should. Because scent, you know, we've talked about it. Scent probably isn't the end all to be all. Because, I mean, just like the tea story, mm-hmm. your dad,
yeah.
you know, me with the sunscreen, probably doesn't matter. But the thing is you can't repeat it. You know, that's the problem.
Right.
So I think if anybody's taken anything away from this podcast, is scent probably does have its value.
I mean, look at Gulp, right? Yes. Berkeley Gulp.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah but that's a specific scent that's designed to attract fish.
Right.
So different than outside influences like we're introducing.
Well, we used to do, and this is kind of funny that you say this, but we used to take, when we would go trolling for, we have a reservoir here, 11 Mile Reservoir when I was a kid, and every once in a while I'd get to go out in a boat with a friend or something, and we would use Dick Knights, like a spoon type, flutter spoon mm-hmm. type thing, and we would take kernel, we'd take corn, we'd open up the can, we'd drain out the fluid in the can, and we'd spray it with WD-40.
Yeah.
And then we would take one kernel, hook it on the hook, and it would just flop out there.
Yeah, but see, what you were doing is that scent was consistent. That's what we're
right.
talking about.
Well, right. And what was WD-40, I mean, it smells good to me, right? Well, I'm huffing the can as a kid, right? This is great, but...
You know, that's an old school
scent
trick.
Yeah, it
was. To spray your stuff with WD-40.
Right. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
so,
you
but
be
just
careful
interesting.
On the mono with it because it does screw up your mono.
Oh, but anyway. I mean, I have no idea. It's one of those things where the old guy I fished with, you know, he'd be like, where's that can? Give me that can. Spray it in there. And mm-hmm. But I can't... You guys, I can't tell you... How many more fish we caught by putting that one single kernel of corn on a hook,
corn
sprayed WD-40.
Yeah, but that was your attractant. Right?
It was crazy.
Well, but that, was it the color?
Salmon and rainbows and browns and pike. And I was just like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, just nuts.
But I was going to say, when you're focusing on trout, corn is top.
So is Play-Doh. I mean, come on, you know. But I mean, that's...
Well, here's another quick story on scent. And it probably goes back to this one trip up in Wilmer, Minnesota, in the late fall, jigging for eyes with just fathead minnows. But it was me and my buddy and his dad out in the boat, and... it was windy. Oh my God. Perfect walleye conditions, right?
Yeah.
You know, it was cold, but it was awesome. We were fishing deep. Well, we used Bang. And
yeah.
I'll tell you what. So Al Moore, rest in peace, sir. He was a big believer in Bang. He said, you didn't have to use it all the time, but he goes, when those fish have lockjaw and they're tough to catch,
right.
he goes, it can make the difference. Well, I saw it. You know, we weren't using it, and he busted out that Bang, and bam, bam, bam.
See,
and,
that's crazy.
And every time, you know, we caught a fish and put a new fathead on, we hit it with Bang and back down. And after a while, I was like, well, you'd be stupid not to use Bang because that's why it was so clear to us that's why they were eating it. And I think ever since that point, I have put scent up higher on the level of my importance. That's why I wash my hands. That's why I do try to keep it in mind. You know, and it goes back to, you know, we're trying to catch these fish, and they've got all their senses that keep them alive, and that's what they hunt with. That's what they survive. It's just like how their lateral line detects the vibration. It's their eyes see the bait or the color. You know, we've talked about color. Right. Yeah, they can smell too, and that's why I personally, you know, put more on it than say like Brad or tea with, you know, covering a bait with the
copper tongue.
Panama Jack.
Well, I know that, but that's funny. I mean, you see people do that all the time. You know, I mean, I don't know. I have used spray. Like, I can remember as a kid.
The crawfish spray, the shad spray,
we'd
whatever.
Fish off the shore and you'd give it a, you know.
Berkeley power spray.
Or whatever. You know, I don't even know if it was Berkeley back then, but whatever.
But I'm just talking about
But that's a good example.
It was probably Bang.
It could have been Bang. I mean, I don't even know when you said that. I'm trying to think.
No, I bought Bang because of the stories that I heard from that. Ooh, there's Bang. I bought
it. But, you know, I mean, so much stuff anymore, right? Like scent has to be a big factor in, let's say, power bait. Right? Because, I mean, let's face it, power bait is glorified Play-Doh with scent. And so it's a bright color, you wad it up on there, or dough balls. I mean, how many people have used dough balls
to catch carp? Yeah, but you're fishing for a different kind of fish that really fish. I mean, if you're. Yeah, so that could bring us to a whole other thing. Fishing for walleye, do they fish for scent like a catfish does?
Exactly. Or bass. Exactly. A lot of bass guys use scent. Yeah. So the catfish bait. Oh,
primarily fish, they primarily hunt by scent.
Sure. So that's of course, exactly.
That's going to be a huge thing for that. When we're talking walleye, because that's what we do, we fish for all those other fish, right?
Or trout.
50 days out on the water, we're fishing for walleye, probably 45 of them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we'll go smallie fishing, we'll go catfish fishing every once in a while, but we definitely change our tactics. Right. When I go catfish fishing, it's all about scent,
right?
You know, so for people that are listening to this, that makes it that's a huge thing. If you're a catfish fisherman, love catching catfish, but you're not going to worry so much. You're not going to be fishing with a crankbait with them, although we've all caught them on that.
Yeah, go up to
them. We've all caught them on that, and I know you can catch them on that, but predominantly, what are you going to do? They fade on the bottom. They're looking for stuff on the bottom, and you're going to throw a big dough ball out there. You're going to fish power bait. You're going to fish chicken liver that's been set out for a couple days is getting nasty because that's what they fish. How they hunt is for scent. Walleye, I think all fish use scent
to a certain degree.
But I think that in our walleye world, it's important. But to me, it's not as important. But after talking to you guys on this, you know, I've done some reflection on it. It probably is important for me to wipe my hands off. And the listeners should take this away from this because we've talked about this, preached about it. Is confidence is a big thing. But it's really being able to repeat it.
Yep.
Repeat what you're doing that's successful.
Yeah. Check. And, this isn't going to screw me this trip. Check. No scent on my hands, right?
You know, thinking about it, especially when we're in tournaments, why do I take the risk? It's probably because I'm lazy. And it's probably because I'm like, screw that. It's not a big deal. But really it is. And really I should do a better job at that.
Right.
Because I think from listening to both of you, it does make a difference. How can I repeat the same thing that's been catching fish if I've just introduced something that's not the same?
Sure. So. You know what? And that brings up a great point. And I think we need to ask our All Eyes on Fishing trout expert, Mitch Peterson, if if trout think the same thing.
Trout, nothing matters. scent, vibration,
they just eat, lure they just size. Go crazy.
Yeah, in your expert opinion.
But what I've learned about trout is basically, you know, everybody's seen Finding Nemo.
Right.
They're like dories. They're just swimming around the lake. They just run into your stuff and they bite on it.
Right.
You know, because beggars can't be cheesy.
Right. They're just the ultimate predator. What do they do? Well, and I really do think there is a difference between trout in a lake and trout in a stream.
100%.
Yep.
The guys that are fly fishing working that is an art.
Yep.
Those guys that fly fish and they're catching those trout, that's that's fun. Yeah. I mean, because you're really, it's you against the river, against the fish.
Yeah.
That's,
presentation, getting it perfect.
I mean, that's not our cup of tea, but those guys that fish that are truly skilled at what they do.
No. I don't know. You know, a stream trout versus a reservoir trout, you can put lipstick on a pig. I mean, it doesn't matter. Oh, to me, it doesn't matter.
He's talking bad about his fish. I can't believe that.
Yeah. But in a reservoir down here, it's... It seems almost aggravating at times with some of the lakes that have so many rainbows. Oh, and I know that a lot of the listeners are like, I'd love to catch them. Well, after when you're trying not to catch them and you can't get your lure down because the trout are going crazy, especially certain times of year, they're just putting their feed bags on them. They go nuts. It gets frustrating. So that's why we bag on the trout so much, because it seems like anybody can catch those.
Yeah, things, it's like a giant block, right? Like you got $9,000 on the line if you do well, and you can't get rid of the carp in a clown suit that keeps biting your, you know. I agree with you 100%. I mean, so, you just get to the point where you're like, and we've all seen it where they walk up like, how'd you guys do? Well, we caught about 50 stupid rainbow today, and they're like, oh, it's really, where'd you go? And you're thinking, I got to be careful here, because a lot of people love it, especially in Colorado.
They do, and a lot of people do love it, so we bag on it, but there's a lot of folks out here that do enjoy doing it. I got a friend of mine that I work with who guides trout fishing things for all over the state, does it in the rivers.
Yeah.
And he truly has put a lot of time into honing his skill. He's went to schools up in, I think it was up in Montana, and then he's gotten certified. He's truly a good fisherman.
Yeah.
And it's funny because he'll take clients out and he'll show me pictures of these, like 8-10 inch, I don't even know, but they're these little trout. They're all excited. They're all holding like delicate. And I'm like, yeah, that looks fun. But I think the experience of being out there on the river and fishing and working an eddy or holes or whatever, that's all part of it. We have a different... Yeah. It's a different cup of tea for us.
Absolutely.
So, but
the best thing that I've gotten out of this is you can get certified to become a trout fisherman. Go to a school and get a certification.
I know. Spend money.
Just so everybody knows, that's our next deal. We're going to be having a certification for trout fishing.
We'll certify for walleye fishing. That's what we're trying
to do. That's what we're trying to do here, No, so, and I agree. I mean, in college, one of my best friends, he was a big fly fisherman. I fly fished for a long time. I still do every once in a while. It is a ton of fun. I mean, it really is, but it is 180 degrees different than walleye fishing. I mean, just completely totally different. I mean,
so there's we're here bagging on them, but it's truly a different different art of fishing.
It is.
And so the guys that listen to that, it's fun to poke at them. I'm sure they poke at us too.
Absolutely.
Because they're can go out in a big boat?
Bait draggers.
It kind of brings up a whole new world. How do fly fishermen look at scent?
Sure.
They don't at all. They don't at all.
No.
I don't think.
No, all about natural presentation. And when I mean natural,
what the hatch is. They look at the hatch in the morning and in the evening.
And presentation's just nuts. I mean, if your line is dragging in current to any degree, I don't care if you have the sweetest smelling fly on, they're going to blow you off. They just don't.
Isn't it weird though how in a stream we'll wrap this up, but in a stream, when guys are fishing those fish, or fishing for trout in a stream or whatever they're fishing for, they're using these little flies.
Tiny.
And they're working the flies. And in the lakes, we can't keep them off the damn...
Size 7 crankbait.
Whatever using.
Here's the deal. I think fly fishermen, it is an art. They're doing it, I think, they're doing it more for the, you know, how they're catching them. And it is hard. It might be the comparison of... rifle hunting versus bow hunting.
Sure.
You know, it's a kind of a different thing with it. But I'll tell you what, up on the blue, up in the mountains here, I hammered the browns in whitewater on a number 7 countdown rapid.
Yes.
And you know what? I don't care if you want to go head to head, you fly fisherman with me with my crankbait.
Right.
I'm probably going to catch more.
Right.
You know, well, I did the same thing. Yeah. You know, I was pitching these Hildebrandt lures, which are like multi-blade spinner.
Yeah.
And I'm casting out there with a spinning rod and a bubble float in front of it, and I was killing them.
Yeah.
You know, these fly fish were back and forth and back and forth and letting it run for 5-10 seconds and then back up doing it again, and I'm just wham! But there's not an art to that.
No.
So that's the difference.
Yeah, it is. And I'll give Chad LeChance from Fishful Thinker a shameless plug here. He does that quite a bit. He uses a smaller gulp. minnows, and he will use spinning gear, and he will go into a stream, and you know, and his buddy will be fly fishing or taking him up to these streams in Colorado because he goes all over, and he hammers them on those gulp jigs.
Sure.
I mean, just hammers them. Big fish too. And so it cracks me up because he is a great example of a bass fisherman by nature who goes up and applies a different technique, one that is way out of the box of what most trout fishermen would do in a stream, and he does great. So I think it's interesting, but a good topic for another one. But as far as scent goes, I think scent is somewhat like color, where it's 50-50. But it's, if I can control a factor, like Brad was referring to, and I can make sure I make something the same every time, I'm washing my hands on whatever the hell stinks like fish.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. No, I agree.
I'm excited for this next tournament season to see how much better we do now that Brad's going to pay attention to scent like me. We'll probably double our catch rate.
He's not back there. You know, he's got his shoes off. He's touching his feet and they stink.
The pictures will tell because he'll still be taking pictures of my fish. So, hey, from all of us on All Eyes on Fishing, we'd like to thank you for joining us. Make sure you're following us on All Eyes on Fishing. And until the next time, we'll talk to you or see you soon.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Join us again next time as we discuss your favorite topics. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and visit our website, alleyesonfishing.com, helping you to fish your next level.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Join us again next time as we discuss your favorite topics. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and visit our website, alleyesonfishing.com, helping you to fish your next level.